More Idaho Matters right now from the studios of Boise State Public Radio News. Well, next month, Idaho Shakespeare Festival will start a brand new season on the grassy hillside in southeast Boise. This year includes the return of a carnivorous plant, an electropop comet, and Dracula. Oh, and there'll be some Shakespeare too. Don't worry about it. Charlie Fee is the producing artistic director of the festival, and he will be directing two of the plays this season. We are lucky enough to have Charlie with us live today. Charlie, it is always a pleasure to have you on the program.
Thanks so much, Gemma. It's always great to be on Idaho Matters with you.
Okay, so let's dive right into the plays. And I have to ask this question. So why bring back The Little Shop of Horrors? Because I believe you did this last year. Was it really that popular?
Yeah, it was that popular. It really was. I mean, it wasn't a huge surprise. We knew that it would be a very popular show. But what happened is so many people could not get in to see it. We literally had hundreds of families on a waiting list that we knew, you know, it was just never going to happen. And in the end, we just decided, we'll bring it back. We can open next season with it. We've done this many, many times in our lives. Just not for a while. For 5 years, we brought back our sort of most popular show from the season before. And that was essentially a way that we created our first five show seasons, right? So we just haven't been doing that because of our partnerships with our other theater companies, in Cleveland and in Tahoe. But this time we just thought, oh, might as well. We love it. We love doing it. And the audience loves it.
Well, and you know, we weren't able to see it last year. And so, I mean, it's one of those things too. I think when you do these particular plays, it is, as you mentioned, great for families. And what a great way, I think, to expose your kids to live theater. And I've had the opportunity to do that with both of my kids. I mean, sometimes they're reluctant, but I do love that you have these performances, because it really is such an engaging way for I think, kids to become involved with the theater.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Little Shop of Horrors is a learning play. You learn a lot about horticulture and botany, and it's a good place to learn about, you know, plants and plant life.
Exactly. So see, they're learning something too. Okay, I want to stay with this kind of campy horror theme, because you were also bringing Dracula, The Bloody Truth to the stage. You're directing this one. And so what was it about this play that you thought we need to do it?
Well, you know, I'm married to a Romanian. So, of course, the themes of Dracula are very deeply important to our family. And Dracula, The Bloody Truth is a style of production that I love to be working on, right? It's a four-actor tour de force, quick change, craziness, right? Like complete works of William Shakespeare abridged, The Hound of the Baskervilles, which is one of the same writer. One of the writers was involved in both shows. So it's a style of zany comedy that I just adore.
And what a fun way to you know, have this come to the theater. Okay, so this other one, I've never heard of this. Oh, so this is an electropop opera, and it's called Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812. I have so many questions about this. First off, what's electropop opera?
Well, you're going to have to come to see The Great Comet to really understand this form. Dave Malloy is the writer. He's the composer and the lyricist. Dave, interestingly enough, grew up here in here, meaning I'm in Cleveland right now, but in Lakeside, Ohio, which is right next to us, and where our theater in Cleveland was founded. In Lakeside. Dave is an absolutely prolific writer and really kind of a sort of musical genius. This is really a sort of generation defining new musical. Now, the fact is you haven't heard of it. And this is one of the problems that we're facing with Great Comet. It played on Broadway. It played off Broadway. It was a massive hit. Josh Groban starred in it. It was Josh Groban's first Broadway show ever. It was nominated for one, two, three, four, five, like seven Tony Awards. It won Tony Awards, and then it disappeared. And one of the reasons it disappeared was COVID, of course. And it's also a piece that's very difficult for the Broadway touring companies to figure out how to tour it, because it was created as an immersive experience with the audience surrounded by the actors and the actors moving in and through the audience all the time. And people, you know, in a sense, people sitting in a Russian sort of tea room bar, you know, bodega kind of sensibility in 1812, of course. And so it's a really, really exciting experience as an audience member. And of course, at the Shakespeare Festival, those are all things that we do anyway all the time, right? We have the actors out in the audience all the time, and we have a you know, a way to engage our audience, and our audience is sitting, you know, in their own private club in a way, eating picnics and drinking vodka, no doubt, at this one, and just having a ball. So I think people are going to love it. But I really want to stress with our audience here today, you may not have heard of it, and that is the most frightening words, apparently, in the American theater. I haven't heard of this thing, and so I don't want to go to it. Take a risk. You're going to love The Great Comet, and it's going to be one of those plays that halfway through the season, our audience is going to find themselves sold out, and everyone's saying, why didn't I buy tickets when I heard Gemma talking to Charlie? So do it now.
You are bringing back, I have to say, one of my favorite Shakespeare plays, and this is As You Like It.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear you say that. I love As You Like It. I've only directed it one other time, right, in my earlier days in Idaho. And so this is the first time I'm back to it for about 20 years myself. I've produced it in other directors' work. But we just opened it and ran it in Cleveland. It closed last weekend, and it's just such a wonderful production. I mean, the acting company is absolutely on point in this thing, and it's lovely. I think our audiences are going to just eat it up.
Okay, and then you are including Sense and Sensibility this season as well.
Yeah, so, you know, we took a risk a few years ago, and I mean, took a risk, let's be honest. Jane Austen's not exactly a risk.
Exactly.
We hadn't done any Austen, and, you know, all of her novels have been adapted for the theater, and they've been very successful. Mm-hmm. So we tried Pride and Prejudice, the kind of obvious starting point with Austen, and it was a huge, huge success. The audiences loved it. So we knew we wanted to come back to Austen, and this adaptation is by a woman named Kate Hamill. She's an actor, someone that we know quite well. Her husband has been in our company, Jason O'Connell, in the past. And she has been doing adaptations of the Austen novels, and they're very radical and incredibly exciting. Eight actors do the entire novel, and it is a thrilling thing to watch. And we just ran it in Cleveland. Our audiences are going to absolutely love this.
Okay. And then let's go outside of the plays, because I've heard that Curtis Stigers is going to be coming back to the festival.
Crazy. Why do we keep bringing him back?
I'm seriously, why?
we love Curtis. And, you know, I've been friends with Curtis for 30 years. And the fact is, I never really knew how much if you know Curtis, you know, he's a kind of a jokester, right? And I never quite believed him when he said, my life's ambition is to play at the Idaho Shakespeare Festival. Because I'm like, how could that be your life ambition, Curtis?
Right.
But he kept saying it. And finally, we just called him up and said, Curtis, why don't we just do this? And he said, I mean it. I want to do it. So we did a concert with him last year. It sold out in literally 20 minutes. And we said, everybody had a ball. And he had a ball. And so we said, let's do it again. And he said, yeah, let's do two next year. So we're bringing him back for 2 dates this next year. And those tickets go on sale this Monday, the 17th. And they will go very quickly.
Yeah. So, Charlie, how is the festival doing? You know, here we are 3 years since the pandemic started. Very much impacted so many arts communities. I mean, Idaho Shakespeare Festival right in there having to close down. Has the festival come back full steam?
No, we're not back full steam yet. And you will see that in this sense. If you go to our website right now and say, hey, I'm going to go buy tickets, there are far more tickets available today than there were on this same date in 2019. What's happening is a late purchasing. And I get it, right? I mean, people were, you know, sort of went through this with us. We said we were going to perform, then we couldn't perform. Then we said we were going to perform. And that went on and on. And people, I think, both got out of the habit and also were sort of like gun shy of, do I really want to buy tickets? Well, we had a full season last year. We lost 12 performances last season, 12, right? And that was absolutely to COVID, every one of them. And we don't see that coming this summer. We're an outdoor festival. It's very safe out there. We still take enormous number of precautions on the site, but I think we're really past it. Once we got going last summer, we were completely sold out again, right? But it just took us till about the end of June to be, and one of the reasons is we, you know, we canceled 2 weeks of our production there of Ain't Misbehavin'. But once we got past that, then the audiences were right back and we were sold out. It was fantastic. But, you know, pre-sale's not back to where it was. And we still think it's going to take another year or so to get back to where our season ticket audience is in full force buying their, you know, their tickets in December and January. Season tickets are still on sale. They're the best thing you can buy, right, in terms of value. And you're going to get in to see all of these shows without any problem.
And I have to say, Charlie, I mean, that is one thing. I mean, if you want to see, you know, a positive in this, is that for so long, let's say if you weren't right on the ball in January to get your tickets, I mean, you couldn't get in. So I do think, too, there's an opportunity maybe for people who, I mean, we've had a lot of people move here over the years, right, who haven't experienced the Shakespeare Festival. And I will say this, that it is a premier festival. I mean, it truly is. And it's one of these opportunities that I think maybe folks should get out of their comfort zone and go try at least one time.
Thank you for that. And you're right. It was when we shut down in 2020, in February of 2020, we were 70% sold out for the entire season just on our season tickets. We hadn't even started selling single tickets. And you're right. It became sort of like people would just call and say to us all the time, I don't go to the festival because I can't get in. And it's like, huh, that's not the case. So it's certainly not the case today. And this would be the time to try it.
Absolutely. Okay, before I let you go, since you bring plays back, any chance you're ever going to bring Mamma Mia back? Because I have to tell you, I have seen that play on Broadway. I've seen it in Vegas. I've seen it at the Idaho Shakespeare Festival. And I still believe it was the best one I've ever seen, was at the Shakespeare Festival.
Oh, that you know, that really makes me feel great, because the thing is, I resisted doing that play forever. In fact, I signed a document at a board member's house like 10 years ago that said, I promise that someday I will give in and produce Mamma Mia against all my better wishes. Oh. And the fact is, I loved it.
It's so good. It was so good, Charlie. So good.
The company loved it. The acting company loved it. And guess what, Gemma, we did it last summer in Tahoe. It was the only one of our three theaters that we were allowed to get the rights for it, because it's going back out on the road. And so we finally were able to get it to Tahoe. The whole company was with us, you know, and it was the exact same experience. The entire audience standing and cheering and dancing. And it was so much fun. So I promise you, we will bring that play back the minute we can get the rights to it. But it's going to be a couple more years of touring there. It's going back out on the road. So we won't get it for at least two more years.
Okay. Well, I'll be first in line. I have to say, one of my favorites. Charlie, it is always such a pleasure to have you on. So looking forward to this season.
Thank you, Gemma. We're so happy. And we, you know, our partnership with Boise State Public Radio is so important to us. And you guys are just phenomenal. You know, you really are. You are all of our source of the truth.
Well, we so appreciate that. We've been speaking with the wonderful Charlie Fee. He is the producing artistic director of the Idaho Shakespeare Festival. The 2023 season starts next month. You can still get tickets, so do that. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
What if the greatest tragedy of your life was just covered up.
I've never seen anything like that before or after.
This is the story of the worst marine-on-marine friendly fire in modern history, a story kept from the public.
It's like, what did y'all have to hide?
Listen to NPR's Embedded podcast in its latest series, Taking Cover.